My pleasure, Olivier. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Atlas 2-3 Working Group call on the 24th September 2013. On the call today, we have Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Cyrano Fardanian, Maureen Hilliard, Cheryl Langdonald, Edouard Villiers, and Jenny Benzema. We have apologies from Wolf Ludwig, Devin Antaluxing, and Ariel Michel. From staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Carl Reyes, Matt Ashtiani, and myself, Natalie Perlin. I'd like to remind all participants to please state their names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Natalie. And so now what we have is two surveys in front of us. There is one survey which was put together by the Capacity Building Working Group, and there was another survey which was put together by the At-Large Summit Survey Working Group or Sub-Working Group. And one of the concerns that was had was that having two surveys running in parallel, maybe a few weeks apart, would first lower the amount of response that one would get, and then secondly also confuse our at-large structures, because getting more than one survey with more than, well, many, many questions and so on, would probably receive a lower yield altogether. So Tijani Benjamin, who is the new chair of the Capacity Building Working Group, and both myself and others involved in the effort, have thought that maybe it might be a good idea to put the two surveys together and merge them. And we're now here gathered to basically look at the drafts and find out how they have somehow come together. And what I'll do is to then pass the floor over to Tijani Benjamin, who has been doing some work on this. And so, Tijani, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Olivier. Tijani speaking. First of all, I would like to say that merging the two original surveys will lead to a very huge long survey that will also be not convenient for the ALSs, and perhaps we will not have a lot of respondents to this survey. That's why the idea was to make a very short part for capacity building, also a short part for the Atlas II survey, and a common part, which is the ALS details, if you want. And this is what was done for the capacity building working group. And also, I have seen this morning the last version of the Atlas II survey, and I noticed that from the original version, it is very much shortened. And I think it is now light that together with the part that we shortened for the capacity building working group, we will have a survey of 2 pages or 2.5 pages, which is, I think, very reasonable and which is useful. Why we need our survey now? Why both surveys are urgent to implement now? Because both will serve to prepare the summit. The Atlas II is obvious, but for the capacity building, as you know, we need to prepare the ALSs for the summit. So preparing them means that we will implement the capacity building program, and we really need input from the ALSs to implement a program that will be convenient for them and that will help them to be prepared for the summit. So that's why it was a problem. Before, people thought that the capacity building survey can be done after. That's right, the comprehensive one will be done after. But this particular part has to be done now to give us the tools to prepare the program. So this is the reason behind it. Now, if you want, we can go through the consolidated. The consolidated survey, that means the merged, if you want, the one who which include both surveys. Moment, I am looking for the right file.
So, Tijani, it's yes. Olivier here. Staff has just uploaded survey consolidated draft onto the Adobe Connect room. And I wonder whether that's correct or not.
That's the correct one, yes. So what I did in this consolidated survey, I took the introduction of the Atlas II for the first section, for the introduction of the survey. I took the introduction from the Atlas II survey. I changed it slightly, not a lot. I just add a phrase to say that it will be also one of the objectives is to get an effective participation of the ALSs, and after that I added two things that what's her name, Dharma, that
Dharma Dayan.
Yeah, she suggested that we put the time it will take to fill in. And this must be done by several people because I cannot do it because I prepared it, so I know it very, very good. So I would be very fast in filling it in. I would like people to fill it in and tell me how long it takes them to fill it in. I put points because I don't have the real minutes needed. And also there is another thing that she suggested. She suggests that we tell them that by filling this survey, you are helping us in understand your concerns, ideas, etc., etc. So this is her suggestion. I integrate them. She has other suggestions that cannot integrate them here. Those suggestions are about how to manage it afterwards. So I will speak about that later. After that, we have the section one, which is the ALS details. So it is also very short. It's only to ask about the ALS name, the primary contact, the secondary contact, and the working languages. That's all. Section two, it's about the Atlas II survey. And I took it as it is. And I hope you will... yes, I have a question. At the end of the Atlas II, the last version of Atlas II survey, there is a question number two, while we have a question number two at the beginning. I don't know why it is question number two. And the question was, what is the overarching theme you think we have to... And I saw that Dharma... said that we don't have to ask this question. We have to understand it from the answers of the previous questions. That's what why I removed it. So the Atlas II survey, I didn't change it at all. I keep it like it was, but I perhaps changed the presentation so that it will be. In harmony with the rest of the survey. I don't know if I have to go through it because it is on the wiki and it was discussed before. The third session, section is a section about the capacity building, and there is two questions about that and then additional comments at the end. The question one is the challenges you encounter as ALS, and the second question was the areas identified for capacity building. And here you have multiple choice that you have to tick for each question. At the end, any additional comments or requests. So this is the whole survey. I sent it by email. I think you have it all on your screen. And now I will give the floor to Olivier to continue.
Thank you very much, Tijani. And I note that Dharma Daly, who had brought all her initial input into the survey, into the Atlas II survey, has responded. And did you take all of the response from Dharma in account to produce an additional latest version of this? Or is that pretty much just three Dharma's...
Olivier,
she sent her note just about an hour ago.
I didn't see it yet. So I didn't receive it. Ah, yes, I see it now. So, no, I didn't integrate it. Now I opened her email, so it is not... But I will do, no problem.
Okay, let's take questions from others at the moment, and whilst we let you read the Dharma's message in the meantime, I open the floor for questions. Anybody has any comments or questions on this? I guess the first question really is whether everyone here believes that whether it's a terrible idea or a good idea to bring the two services together. I know that there was much discussion that took place, and it looks as though everyone seems to agree now that maybe one survey is a better idea. I must say I'm personally quite pleased to see how the results, how they are at the moment, but obviously there might be some editorial changes and a few things that need to be added and changed and maybe numbering and so on. But I see Eduardo has put his hand up, so Eduardo, you have the floor.
This is Eduardo for the record. I have a question. Is it going to be something that is going to be filled up in an online system or something like that? Thank you.
May I respond?
Very good question, Eduardo. Yes, Tijani, you have the floor.
Yes. Yes, thank you, Eduardo. The intention is to put it online, and I was hoping that Dev will be with us because I laid on him especially for this. That's why I put squares to tick. If it was something to download and to write, I would say write yes or write no. But I put boxes that people have to tick. So I think the best way is to put it online, with the possibility for people who are more comfortable with paper to download it and to fill it in and to send it, scan it and send it by email. I think we need to give the people, the ALSs, all the possibilities so that they will we will get more responses. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. Cheryl Langdonor is next.
Thank you, Olivier. Cheryl, for the record. Tijani, just following on from your answer to Eduardo's question, and I think my preference is clearly for it to be online. If we do it online, and I think we should, I can use a couple of tools. We have obviously the big pulse tool that we're all familiar with, which whilst we use as a voting tool is actually a very capable survey tool as well. I just don't know whether Matt and the rest of our staff have the experience in that to put this together, but certainly he'd be in a position to probably get himself up to speed fairly quickly if needs be as well. But ICANN does also use SurveyMonkey, which is a little bit less, it's certainly less, an easy tool to use, thus the whole simple as a monkey could do it. But the metrics and the ongoing analysis, etc., that you can get out of SurveyMonkey, you still have a commitment of time to take the metrics and do the analysis. I suspect, particularly if we're going to use the same type of survey back end to do the follow-up work, that we should ask staff to look very carefully at our choice of online tool. What I wouldn't want to see is some, you know, simple markup document that happens to be online, and that then we're just virtually having an online equivalent to a paper document. I think that would be far too much time, and you don't have the ability to manipulate the data as effectively. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. Actually, Cheryl, as someone who was around at the time of the organization of the first at large, the first Atlas, the prior survey, how was it done? Was it done online? Was it a mix of online and on virtual paper, or how did it work?
Sure, Cheryl here. The reason I was not particularly thrilled with the concept of doing it as a virtual paper exercise is that is exactly how it was done. If we look to follow-up surveys that the community has done, and I think we all remember the great material we got out of some of those surveys, the time it took Dev and his team to get the analysis together. I mean, Darlene, I remember you were in that analysis group for, you know, there was a huge amount of work had to be done to manipulate things in, well, I don't think you used pivot tables, but you certainly would have used spreadsheets and things. And if we get our back end right, all of that happens with someone else's computing power and our people just put their desired search criteria in, and I'd be strongly encouraging you to go that way.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. And Tijani, I did hear your voice before we go over to Eduardo. Tijani?
Yes, thank you. Cheryl, I am really counting on BigPulse, because with BigPulse it will be easy to analyze the survey afterward. We will not be obliged to take the cheats and to count every answer, etc., etc. The advantage of the online survey is especially the analysis of the results, and I hope we will be able to use BigPulse. And Matt is one of the experts of BigPulse. I hope he will help us.
Thank you very much, Tijani. Next, we have Eduardo Diaz.
Here, can you hear me? This is Eduardo. The question
yes,
I have
can hear you. Go ahead.
Is in section 3, and in relation to what Dama in her last email, is that you know, she has a very good question. She said, "What happens if people, you know, in section 3, they mark all of them or majority of them? How do you determine which one? How do you prioritize? You know, what capacity building or what challenges are out there?" I would suggest that those two are done in a, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 type selection, so you can prioritize them. That's my comment.
Thank you, Eduardo. That's I think quite a worthwhile thing. Tijani, what do you think?
Yes, I am reading that on the Dharma email. I agree with her. I agree with you also, Eduardo. Perhaps we can modify slightly the questions so that it will. But it was meant to be questions for the ALS and not for the for the person who is filling the survey, because it is assumed that the person who is filling the survey is the first contact of the ALS, and he will respond on behalf of the ALS, and not he will not give his own responses. But she is right. The manner the question is asked will make it the point of view of the person and not the ALS. I will try to modify that.
Thank you, Tijani. I noted that Darlene Thompson had her hand up for a short while, and then it dropped off. You still in the queue, Darlene?
Thank you. I'll put myself back in the queue. Darlene Thompson here. I made this comment during the Atlas II working group meeting that we had last time, but since this is actually capacity building, I'm going to make it again since there are some different people here. Yes, the doodle polls are excellent. What I would suggest on top of that, though, since the North American region just went through a series of painful elections, and one of them required us to change our rules of procedure. And for that, we need 70% participation from active ALSs. So what Matt Ashtiani did is, when they didn't respond, is he started every day emailing those individual people saying, hey, you haven't voted yet. So, and it was awesome. We got our 70% and more. So if these kinds of stats could be sent to even the secretariat during this, you know, when we're having these surveys filled out, then the secretariats could easily send out emails to those individuals and say, hey, you haven't filled this out yet. You won't be able to go to London if you don't fill it out or whatever, or even start calling the people, because we know these people and we can start phoning them. And honestly, some people have all their Rallo stuff going into a folder that they only look at once in a while. So I think this kind of pushing might be necessary.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Darlene. I think that one of the requisites for ELSs to come to London will be that they actually have to answer this survey altogether. I think that there was some talk about this going on. I don't know whether this is finalized, but we'll find out maybe later on in this call, or maybe during the Atlas conference call itself. Cheryl Langdonor is next.
Did say that he filled out?
Oh, just one second, Darlene. Sorry, we're cutting off. Go ahead again, Darlene Thompson.
I'm sorry, Darlene Thompson. Sorry, Cheryl. The Atlas II group did decide that these had to be filled out, you know, in order to be allowed to go to London. So that group is pretty adamant on that. And I think that this is pretty much a minimal requirement. But that's just my opinion. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Darlene. Next is Cheryl Langdonor.
Great, thank you. Cheryl, for the record, and the Atlas One also had the filling out of the survey as a make or break criteria for engagement. So the precedent is set, so I certainly wouldn't be encouraging anyone to think otherwise. I'm not on the Big Pulse payroll, I'd like to make that very clear, but when I was chair and when we were actually deciding on Big Pulse, I did spend a reasonable amount of time looking at the whole of their product line. And one of the things they can do is exactly, for example, what Darlene was suggesting, and that is in each of the sections, even though to the person filling out the survey, it appears seamless. Each of those sections can generate reports separately, and so you could have continuous updating on who has in fact filled out section one, and that would mean that you could do exactly what you said, Darlene, and have the local secretariats in each region do some follow-up. I think the other thing that would be interesting, I can only apologise for the galahs, it is spring and it is very noisy here in the morning, so my squawking hopefully is louder than the birds and wildlife. The other advantage which I wanted to come back to in having a robust and very technically oriented back end that does all the mathematical and arithmetical magic without any of us really having to worry about it is that in Section 3, and it's a little bit beyond just the challenges in Section 3.1's question, but thinking more about Section 3.2, for example, rather than just having what we have had before, right back to a very earliest survey before we were even on any forms of wiki, we did a survey which gave us a key interests or top 10 list. What tended to happen is that it was not any but all of the above that ended up. And so to be able to rank or prioritise them in some way is extremely handy. It's also extremely difficult if you're doing it, not difficult, but time-consuming, if you're doing it manually. With these smart online systems, there's a bunch of ways it can be done. Obviously, you can ask the person filling it out to put it in priority order. But one of the common ways it's done now is to ask people to allocate 10 points or 12 points or 20 points. And they can allocate it to any or all, so they can put zero against some of these things. And so that type of tool gives you a lot more information and you can know not just, you know, what are the top three, but how far ahead one of those top three might be in a real metrics measure. And as I said before, that in the chat, that's the bread and butter work that Big Pulse has set up to do. It's far more than a voting tool. So if this group would like to know more, we did have the guys from Big Pulse come to a teleconference webinar for another matter entirely and explain some of the cleverness that their system could do that we weren't aware of. And I'm sure if we wanted to feel comfortable about choices, we could have the same thing. We could have someone from SurveyMonkey and indeed someone from Big Pulse to offer their wares and sell which one they think we would be most benefited by. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. I'd like to hear from Matt about his experience on Big Pulse and on, I guess, on SurveyMonkey as well. Matt, are you able to give us a bit of feedback on this, please?
I can discuss it if you like, but I'm just kind of taking it all in, looking at the questions and just trying to really think about what would be the best way forward. Because I can think of there's some benefits in SurveyMonkey, there's some benefits in Big Pulse. So before I really say which one I think is better, I'd go do some research.
Okay. Do you feel confident, sort of, yes, speaking, do you feel confident if you were to do it in Big Pulse, regarding your knowledge? Because, Cheryl has mentioned that there is help at hand for Big Pulse if we were to do it with Big Pulse.
I suppose if you want to do it with Big Pulse, you could. They have the services that we can always call in case I do need help. But with me, I am still just hesitant to actually give an answer until I get in there and play around for a little bit. But it does seem possible for if that gives you any of what you were looking for.
Okay. Thanks, Matt. So the action item is for Matt Ashtani to explore a platform for the consolidated Atlas II and CB capacity building survey. Let's get back to the content rather than the system itself. I did note, and a couple of other people I think noted a question with regards to question 2.6. Would your ALS like to be part of the Team Planet the Summit? And then 2.7, can we contact you with follow-up questions about the summit? And there is yes, no, and maybe. What's maybe supposed to mean? Is it a yes or is it a no?
You're right. For 2.7, yes, you're right. Maybe is not relevant.
But I mean, it's a maybe, you could put maybe everywhere. In general, I don't think that we should provide the ability to say, to basically not answer questions. Ultimately, I think it's important that all questions are answered, because otherwise we'll just end up with having maybes everywhere. So that was one thought. With regards to the other questions, does anybody have any feedback on those?
So, Olivier, do you propose that also for 2.6 we remove maybe?
That's correct, Olivier speaking. I think ultimately we just need to get people to say yes or no. If somebody answers maybe, if an ALS answers maybe, then in any case they will be contacted. Or do you think that maybe is a less of a step than to say yes, and so we're likely to get more ALSers to be interested in being part of the team planning the summit? Is this basically a rhetorical question where you ask the question and you say maybe, and if they happen to click on maybe, then that's it, it's a yes. But it's just a maybe to them sounds like less engaging than a yes. Cheryl Langdonor, you have the floor.
Hi, thank you, and sorry to jump in, but my the Adobe Connect freeze every damn time I try and hit the return button on what I've typed, so it was a little annoying, and now it's frozen totally. An alternate to maybe would be undecided, or require more information. There's a couple of ways of skinning that cat, but I do agree maybe is a bit too ambiguous.
So perhaps require more information, Olivia speaking, that would bring engagement from the ALS, and at that point, the team could get hold of that ALS, and that would be a first step forward to bring them in the organization of things.
May I speak, Olivier?
Go ahead, Tijani.
Okay, thank you, Tijani speaking. I would like to remove them, you're right, because if I put require more information, it will need more treatment afterward, and we don't have time now. We are in a very tight slot of time, so we will let it as simple as possible. And people who want to be part of the organizing team, they can, or planning team, they can respond yes. People who are not sure, they respond no, and that's all.
Okay, thank you, Tijani. Any other thoughts on this? I see that Eduardo is bringing in the weatherman, or the weather people as well, weather persons. Maybe it will rain. I notice Maureen is asking, are we sending this survey to the primary contact from the ELS site, and why are we asking for a second contact?
I can
you answer, Tijani? Go ahead, Tijani, you have the floor.
Thank you. Thank you, Tijani speaking. We definitely need a secondary second contact, because a lot of times we don't manage to contact the first contact. Second point, I have a big concern about ALSs of one person. So when you ask about the second contact, it will give you the level of the reality of this ALS, if there is other persons with the first contact. As you know now, most of the ALSs, we know only one person from this ALS. And this is a big problem. In my mind, the summit is a good thing, but it will be really a good thing if we can get more than one per ALS. Because if you have always the same person, that means that we are working with the same person, we are working with persons and not with ALS. So I think that really we need to have the second contact so that we can contact him in case the first contact will be failure. Perhaps he will not respond. It is very important to have every ALS present in the summit.
Thank you, Tijani. I noticed agreement from Shara Langdonau on the Adobe. Then you certainly have my agreement as well on this. I've also reread the input from Dharma Daily, and certainly the questions which ask about the interest in section number two, I believe, those ones would need probably to be ordered or to be formatted in the format that Dharma mentions here, which effectively says, instead of using checkboxes, ask open-ended questions for capacity-building questions, or rephrase the checkbox questions so that they reflect priorities. And I guess that by having numbering and putting those in a priority, as a priority list, that would probably be helping. And maybe we should ask for at least three. I note here that Cheryl mentions maybe having, this is for the contacts. Okay, I'm mixing things at the moment. On section 2.1, realizing if people have to put priorities, I don't think they can actually prioritize the whole list there. How many would you think they should prioritize?
Here it is put three. So you can, but we can ask them to order them. So we can ask them to put one, two, three, so that we know that one is the first priority, two the second priority, etc.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Tijani. Cheryl Langdonauer. And you're muted, Cheryl, or you have been eaten by a crocodile this morning.
No. I can't have my hand up. I can't see anything, that's all. All I can see is what I've typed in, and she's not going anywhere. Every other pod is blank. It's
my usual hate fest with Adobe in its new format. Cheryl, for the transcript record, and feel free to send that piece of information onto the Adobe Connect people. What you were just talking about, and it does meet the points that Dharma's made, and they're very important ones, I'd encourage us not to go into open-ended questions at this point in time. As Tijani says, we're up against time already. It's a luxury you may have at follow-up, but I don't think you'd have time now. Not that it's hard to write the open-ended question in the survey. It's hugely time-consuming to analyse them, and that's what I would discourage you. So go for the weighted or prioritised listings wherever possible. And I just wanted to make clear where you've got a list of, you know, 5 or 10 or 20 options, you can ask for just your top three, but you can also ask people to allocate points, which is a very common survey tool these days. You say you've got 20 topics and you've got 20 points that you can allocate all 20 of those points to one topic or 10 points to two topics or and so on. And that gives you much more powerful information, according to the survey gurus at least. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. That's a very good point. No pun intended. And we'll make it a point, intended this time around, a punt intended for Matt to check this out with either of the tools that he might be using. I'm not sure whether these can be used in both of the tools that are under consideration. Eduardo Diaz, you're next.
This is a wonderful record. Just in section 3.1, I will eliminate all of the above, that choice, since we're going to prioritize those, which I should take that one out. Thank you.
Thank you, Eduardo. I hope that someone is making notes of the amendments that need to be made. Tijani, will you be producing the latest version from the discussions we have here?
I am trying to do it on time, real time. But perhaps at the end, if I have a summary, it will be good. But I am following on the survey, and I am trying to correct.
Okay, thank you, Tijani. So all of the above to be deleted from 3.1. Is there a consensus here? Yeah, I don't see anyone saying no. So all of the above to be removed from 3.1. Back to you, Tijani.
But Eduardo, please, you don't think that there is an ALS that has all these challenges?
Mike? Can you repeat the question, Tijani? I didn't get it.
Yeah, I repeat. If one ALS has all those concerns, all those problems, they can put all of the above, or they can tick everyone. Yes, you're right. We can suppress it. Yes, we can remove it.
Yes.
Because they can check every box.
Right. I think what we want is we want to prioritize them.
Yeah.
Well, I think that Cheryl, this is Olivier speaking, I think that Cheryl's suggestion of having people give some weight to those, so they don't need to prioritize it as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but they can actually put some weight. They have, let's say, 20 points, that they can put 10 points on one and 5 points on the other and 3 on the other. That will effectively then provide a feeling when the survey machine works it all out. The one with the highest number of points is obviously the one that is the most important out of all of it, and that looks like it's quite a straightforward thing, and certainly will show more weighting than other ways of doing it. Eduardo Diaz?
What happens if I put a weight of 10 in all of them? You know, it's the same thing.
Eduardo, you would have 20 points altogether, so you wouldn't be able to give 10 for all of them. You'd have, if you put 10 in one, then you'd still have 10 to distribute among all of the others that are remaining there, including some that will remain at zero.
Okay, I got you. Thank you.
Olivier?
Yes, go ahead, Tijani.
I am afraid this will complicate things for the ALSs. Perhaps prioritizing it's something it's easy to do. But giving them credit that they have to distribute among those points, I don't know if it is really and easily understood and well used, if you want. Perhaps you will get results that are not the reality of the situation.
Thank you, Tijani. Any thoughts on this from anyone else on the call? Eduardo?
Yes, I think point system will give us a better indication, as Cheryl said, about what has more weight than other things. But for somebody answering a survey, it will take longer, I think. Thank you.
Thank you, Eduardo. Any other thoughts or points? Let me ask Darlene. Darlene, I'm sorry to put you on the spot, but you have a fair knowledge of dealing with the public in general. I just wonder what your thought is on this. Points, weighted points, or just having people put it in order? If we haven't lost Darlene Thompson, I can't hear you at the moment. Yeah, go ahead, Darlene.
Darlene Thompson here. He put me on the spot. No, I have no problem with either way. I think they could both work. So whichever way the most of you think is fine with me. But I do like the 1-3 point system for the elections. That like we use for the elections that Maureen's talking about there. That seems to work. But I don't have a firm idea either way. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I see that Cheryl Langdonor has written a few things in the chat, and her hand has been going up and down. I suggest that it's probably her wrestling with the system. Cheryl, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. And no, I definitely want to leave my hand up, even though my screen is now totally blank. Well, no, I have a blue section and a white attendees section.
Your number of hands is limited to a maximum as hands equals 20. That's what it is.
That's great. Okay, fantastic. Look, I don't want to take too much of our time in this. It's also going to be somewhat dependent on what tool is chosen and the speed with which, you can make any tool do it, but how much hard coding has to go in to get the analysis done on the other end easily may not be worth it. So if we go for a tool that, has this as a bulk standard thing to do, then that's going to probably make your decision much easier. I just want to argue against the concept that it actually takes longer. In fact, the reason that this point system or the slider on the scale of 1 to 10 is a popular survey tool these days is that it actually gets humans to respond faster and more honestly. And in fact, they've found that people are more likely to complete a survey using this style of questioning than they are the other. And I could bore you all, and won't do so now, on the reasons for all of that. But there's a huge science behind all of this. And I can just tell you that if you did go to the weighted point, the type system, and especially if it was a system that was easy for you to use, as in the analysis and the setting up of the survey, not the people you're asking to do the survey itself, but for the actual staff and team, it really won't matter that much. And what it should do is make it more likely for people to fill it out and fill it out effectively and fast. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. I think we at the moment are not having any specific consensus on this, but let's, as you say, check on the tools first and how I think, the content obviously and the questions are particularly important. Tijani, you have your hand up, and I think that I will ask you to go through what you've heard with regards to the amendments to be made, and then afterwards we're going to have to go for the next part of our call, which is just a summary of where we are at with regards to the next steps, and Eduardo will be able to take us through this. Tijani, you have the floor.
Okay, thank you. Now Eduardo spoke about the points to be distributed, he said, I will give 10 to each. And you explained him that no, he has a total of 20 that he has to distribute. This is Eduardo, who knows very well the system, who is with us, who conceived the system with us. What about people there? What about if you have people putting more than the total credit? If you have
the system will not allow them.
How you will manage that? How you will explain that? How you will interpret that? So I
no, Tijani, the system will not allow this. If the system allows for a maximum of 20 points to be distributed among all of the different. All of the different sections, then all of the different questions or selections, then if you allocate 20 out of 20 on one, then the system will just not allow for the rest to be allocated anywhere. But I wanted to move away from this because we don't even know if the system is going to allow for something like that or not at the moment. It's something to look at. If it does allow it, maybe we can do a quick test with Matt and see if it's straightforward to use. And if it doesn't allow it, then in any case, we are wasting time.
Okay, it works.
So, Tijani, can you just take us, please, through what you've heard with regards to the actual amendments on the survey itself? I think that looking at Section 1, ELS details, we're fine with primary contacts, secondary contacts, and the working languages. Section 2, we're looking at the ordering of these, if I remember correctly. Have you heard anything else on this? Or have you made any other amendments?
No. I didn't make any amendment on it. I just heard about prioritizing or distributing total credit.
Okay, fantastic. There is a question. We can deal with the questions from Dharma just afterwards. Then there is section two with various different questions. Again, the maybe. Will your ELS attend the summit? Please don't put a maybe because that doesn't help us at all. We need a yes or a no.
Okay. I removed all the maybes.
Okay, thank you, Tijani. And then the different questions underneath, I guess everyone okay with the questions underneath here?
I didn't hear any objections.
No objections, and I can see some green ticks from Eduardo, or a green tick from Eduardo. So then we have Section 3, and Section 3 again has this ability perhaps to order the different points.
Exactly.
And there is a removal on 3.1, removal of all of the above.
Exact. That's done.
Anything else on Section 3? 3.1? Everyone okay? 3.2?
Same. Have to order them.
Okay, and then additional comments or requests, and that pretty much is the full survey. That looks like quite well put together. Tijani, I guess you will then send the Atlas II survey group and the capacity building working group the latest version, please.
Okay. Olivier, I will read carefully the mail of Dharma. And if there is other things, I will include it and send the last version of the survey. Okay?
So, thank you, Tijani. It's Olivier speaking. There is actually a question with regards to confidentiality. And it says in there, any information you provide will remain confidential. It will be used to prepare a summary of results. No individual information will be published. Could you explain this, please?
She asked that. She said, are you sure?
Well, She's wondering, yes, she says, is this true? Because, of course, some of the information that is there, such as, for example, the name of primary and secondary contacts, these are going to be published.
No, this is public information. We have already them on the website. So those are not confidential. What is confidential is the specific questions we asked about their challenges, their wishes, their difficulties, etc. Those are confidential.
Then perhaps, it's Olivia speaking, perhaps Tijani is saying any confidential information or any unpublished information that hasn't been published so far you provide will remain confidential. Or your choice and selections of priorities or challenges will remain confidential. But obviously not all of the information in there will remain confidential since some of it is already public knowledge.
Okay. I'll try to find a way to... yes, okay.
Thank you.
We'll do.
Right. We are already 1 minute over the limit. If we can spend 5 more minutes with everyone looking at the forthcoming schedule, I could ask staff to please swap over to the prior screen that we had with the wonderful timeline that Eduardo had put together. And I guess I can give the floor over to Eduardo as soon as this timeline shows up on the screen, and Eduardo will be able to take us through this and show us if we do have a problem or a crunch or if we're able to still survive. Eduardo, you have the floor.
Okay, this is Eduardo for the record. Basically, if you look at tomorrow's day, which is September 25th, by tomorrow, today or tomorrow, if we have consensus on this, on the basis of this survey, I will say that by here, by October 3rd, you know, once we get all the information ready for the ALSs, we get... And I believe this survey is going to be translated into more languages. I think it will allow from September 25th to October 3rd to work on that. So by October 3rd, we are able to, by that time, we are ready to send it out. Now, I heard Heidi and another meeting that I think that week they're going to have, they're not going to be that much available. They're going to be taking some kind of training. So if that happens, we give 14 days for the people to respond to the meeting to the survey. And by October 17, we get all the survey responses, and then we're allowed to start working and analyzing the data, and the events subgroup can start working in preparing and organizing the actual events, putting some kind of draft, from October 24 to the beginning of September. So by November 7, we have a draft organization of what is going to happen in the summit, and then we can have it out there to get feedback from everyone, as we did with the survey. And I believe by the Buenos Aires time, we can talk about the feedback, and if we are not able to ratify the events there, we should do it sometime before the end of the year. That's basically the timeline.
Thank you very much, Eduardo.
Thank you.
Thank you, Eduardo. Any feedback on this timeline from people on this call?
Tijani,
go ahead.
Thank you, Olivier. Thank you, Eduardo. I do think that it is an ambitious timeline. I hope we will manage to keep this timeline and to be in this timeline. Because we have to translate the survey, and it is not something which is easy. You will see that the translation that you will get needs to be reviewed by people who speak this language so that the ALSs will not be confused. And we need to make a cross-check of the translation. I think that it will take time. That's why I say it is ambitious.
Thank you very much, Tijani. Next is Darlene Thompson.
I agree with Tijani. I've just been reading Heidi's comments there in the chat area where she was asking how many languages are the survey to be translated in, just English, French, and Spanish, or the five UN languages. It will take a week to have the survey translated. So if we're looking at a week for survey translation, and then to have some volunteers go through the survey, it's going to take longer than that.
Thank you, Darlene. Eduardo?
This is Eduardo. So, you know, what I'm hearing is that we should move everything by a week. Is that what we're talking about, or 2 weeks?
Yes.
Well, Eduardo, it's Olivier here. I think the first thing that I was going to ask is for, we see the size of the survey itself, and I just wonder how long it would take. First, we need to choose how many languages, so just Spanish and French, or do we want it in the five UN languages? And if we want it in the five UN languages, how long do we wish the how long is the interpretation and languages department going to take to translate this?
Olivier, there is no need to translate it in the six UN languages. We are using three languages right now in all the RALOs. So we will restrict it to three languages.
Okay. Well, I see Siranush is also saying the same thing. She assumes that English, Spanish, and French would be enough. At the moment, yeah, agreed, three languages. Let's go for three languages. Can I ask staff to please check with the languages department, now that we know the size of the survey itself, check how long it would take to have that document translated. I have a feeling this is no more than a day. Quick turnover on this. We're far away from an ICANN meeting at the moment. We should be able to have this very fast. It will take less time as a small document. If we have this finalized, the survey finalized within the next couple of days, ready for comments, and are able to get this translated fast enough, I don't see a reason why we should let the schedule slip further than what it currently is at the moment. I mean, I'm a little concerned about giving ourselves two more weeks, and people don't feel the pressure, no one feels the pressure, that we have to push forward with this. And we'll feel the pressure in March 2014. And that's a real concern, because in March 2014, it'll be way too late. And we really need to move as much as we can. So I'd like to try and keep the pressure up on everyone so that we actually get things done, rather than thinking, well, we can delay by another week and then we'll have a bit more time today. We don't have time. We need to move. Tijani?
Thank you, Olivier. Tijani speaking. I do feel the pressure. I feel it very, very hard. And that's why I was running after the survey. I think that now that the survey is almost finalized, we did something very good. We are in a good progress. But we have to be realistic, Olivier. It is not important to have a very tight timeline while we cannot be in it. That's it.
But Tijani, the survey itself is a tiny little speck of dust compared to the amount of work that will be needed to actually get the events created and the discussion going. The survey has now taken 3 months, not 3 months, but 2 months. As far as I'm concerned, this is way into the red part of the spectrum at the moment. It needs to be out.
Yeah.
Sorry to be putting the pressure on this, but it needs to be out.
Okay.
I'm very happy to the fact that you've managed to put them together. You've done an excellent, amazing job on this. But we have to put the pressure on the rest of the team that they read through that survey one last time, and then we have it translated and it goes out. I think we're just 48 hours, 72 hours away from sending this out and moving forward. Eduardo?
I suggest that we keep the timeline the way it is, and we try to shoot for the dates that we have here. And, you know, it's, like you said, that the survey is not that long. It shouldn't take that long to translate. I mean, and the tools that we're going to use are out there. So, you know, we should keep trying to shoot for these dates and see what happens.
Thanks very much, Eduardo. And so the third action item for staff to check with languages department on the time it would take to have that survey translated into Spanish and into French. Any other comments or questions before we close off?
Yes, action items, Olivier. I would like to add one action item to Jeannie to finalize the survey according to the remarks on the call and the remarks of the of Dharma. Second,
that's in number two at the moment.
Yeah, another action item. I'd like at least three of the team to fill in the survey and give me the time it took them, so that I can put it on the survey because we added it in the introduction. And quickly, so that the survey can be released very, very soon.
Thank you. Thank you, Tijani. As I don't know who is currently typing the action items, but as we have the action items added, I think it's Carlos who's adding those. Yeah, Carlos Reyes.
May I suggest that the three people has to be one from Latin America because of the language. One from, we will translate it. No, I'm sorry. No, they must be English speaking.
No need to distribute it at this point.
Okay.
Okay, fantastic. Any other comments or questions? It is 12 minutes past the top of the hour. I believe that many people have to move forward. Oh, Darlene Thompson, one last comment.
Darlene Thompson, very, very quick comment. I would volunteer to take the survey because I'm on a super, super, super slow internet connection, so it really doesn't get any worse than me. but I'm just wondering, could you send me maybe a link to it or something like that?
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Darlene. Matt will be in the action item number one, Matt to explore a platform for the Consolidated Atlas 2 and Capacity Building Survey. Matt will be choosing the platforms. Maybe Matt can work with you in seeing which one of the two works better as well once he has looked into this. That certainly is an action item for here for him. Okay. Any other comments or questions on this?
Yes.
Go ahead, Tijani.
We need a trial with downloading the survey and fill it by hand, because perhaps we said that we will give this opportunity to people, so we have to check the time that this take to do it by hand.
Yeah, we'll definitely have some. Tijani will definitely do some trials and things. Once it's done and it's ready, both online and in paper form, then we'll do a few tests on this.
Exactly.
And I do believe we have the time for this. Right. Well, thanks very much to all of you. It's been good progress here, and I'm very glad that we have come to consensus on this call. Tijani, we're waiting for your circulation of the updated draft, and of course Wolf Ludwig will have to agree to this as well once he reads his emails and the other members of the survey working group. I thank all of you for having joined us this morning, this afternoon, or this evening. Thanks to everyone, thanks to staff, and to take notes, and this call is now adjourned. Well
thank
done.
You
bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.